Welcome to the LTC University podcast. My name is Jamie Preston, and today we have two of my friends. We've got, first of all, Susan Luther. She's the LTC University provost and for our education side of our company. And she's a great friend, somebody who I really enjoy working with, and I think the world of. Susan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jamie. It's good to be with you. Yeah. I appreciate this opportunity.
Nice. And we got a second guest. We have somebody who's not new to the podcast. That's David Tichy. He's the VP of Education, and you can't have a better name for VP of Education with David Tichy. I think that's perfect.
Thank you, Jamie. Absolutely. Teaching and teacher, that's a coordination for that. So thank you for the call, and I appreciate you having and thank you also, Susan, for being on with us. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, and David, sure. I'll just have to give a shout out. Just celebrated a birthday, a really old birthday, I've got to say, you know, and I can say that because we're the same age. So
that's right. That's right.
We won't reveal that. We'll keep that to ourselves today. So, well, today we're going to be talking about education and kind of, you know, with SC House Calls and Main Street Physicians, SC Home RX and LTC University, how that's fleshed out, you know, within all of our healthcare organizations and how that works. So, Susan, let's start by talking about the university, how that started and kind of how that works.
Sure, Jamie. You know, a well-educated staff is vital to any organization. And our founder, Scott Middleton, also known as our Chief Disruption Officer, values a well-educated staff. So we created the university to have access to for our employees to a course catalog of about 1,000 courses. And then we started adding apprenticeships so that employees can hone their skills in the jobs that they're in, and it enables the leadership of our company to identify future leaders. That was some of the major purposes of the beginning of our apprenticeship programs. We also found, like with our medical assistants, the education for them was not really in depth. And so by providing an apprenticeship that furthered their education, and then at the completion of their apprenticeship after 1 year, they received a pay raise. So it helped us to retain these employees because they are so vital to any healthcare organization.
And I think it's important. Really neat that, you know, that you guys have utilized this apprenticeship, you know, approach, because I mean, typically people think of electricians and welders and kind of more industrial type, you know, job fields that utilize apprenticeships. So it's really cool that, you know, you guys have taken that into the medical world and started to use that. And I think it's really cool. So
we were the first healthcare company to start apprenticeships.
Yeah.
So it's very important. And not only are they getting education regarding the duties that they have, but for our professional licensed staff, they also earn CE credit hours as well at no cost.
Yeah, which they're going to have to get anyways. Like they have to get anyways, so they're automatically getting them. And you guys had the benefit of providing kind of how they're being educated, and I think that's just such a smart move.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah. So tell us more. You know, kind of, you know, one of the things that you guys utilize too, Susan, that you lead and run is our LTC University Provider Conference. That's a big part of the education plan for the year as well.
Yes. You know, right now, what SC House Calls has, I think a little over 330 providers in South Carolina and Georgia. So we want well-educated staff there. We want to keep them current on cardiology and all these different things that they're seeing with the patients in the practice. So October 20th to the 22nd, we're already working on the speakers. We've secured a couple of speakers already, which is very important. And it not only is it a great educational opportunity for the providers, social workers, all of our licensed staff, but it enables that team building as well through the dinners and and just breaks to be able to network and see what other people are doing to make their life easier when providing care for patients.
Yeah.
So now, it's an exciting opportunity. It really is.
Yeah. And, right. Now, is that just for your internal staff, or is that open to anybody that's a provider across the United States?
It usually is open. We have that call next week where we'll make that determination. But in the past, it's been around $25 for the registration. And we were really fortunate last year. We offered 18 and a half credit hours.
Wow.
And you can't beat that.
No. I mean, providers pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to get that many CEUs. So, yeah, that's phenomenal.
Right. And it's, located in Columbia, so it's two and a half hours from anyone in the state. And your meals are included.
Sure.
So it is a wonderful opportunity for colleagues of our staff to be able to come in and obtain their CE credit hours that they're needing.
Absolutely.
So we're always looking for additional speakers. So anyone listening, if you know some dynamic presenters, let me know. I would love to reach out to them to see if they might be available. And this year we're adding a marketing track, an administrative and leadership track as well. So it is expanded tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely. And where's that going to be located?
At the Columbia Marriott at 1400 Hampton Street.
Nice. That's awesome.
And we hope to, about 6 weeks or so, we'll hope to have the website up and running with just some basic, preview presenters that we've secured, and then they'll be able to check back in. And of course, we'll let everyone know when registration is open.
Cool. That's awesome. And that's where this podcast is actually birthed out of, is the LTC University kind of model. And that's what this podcast is all about, education. So that's what it's all about. David, tell us about kind of your role in education, as VP of education for SC House Calls. Talk about your role and kind of what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie. Susan, that was a great kind of layout of what you just shared. I'm a personal advocate for the apprenticeships program. I've been through a medical coding and billing apprenticeship in the past through LTC University, and it was really cool to go through that and to have that exposure and that experience with the apprenticeship and to receive that certificate from the U.S. Department of Labor. That really made it official, and I have that hanging on my wall in my house, in my office space in my house too. So a badge of honor, if you will. So that's a great program for our staff members. So thank you for supporting us on that. Jamie, so education, wow, it's wide open right now. And as Susan was alluding to, our Chief Disruption Officer, Scott Middleton, really puts that education in high regards. And so what we've tried to develop and have strongly put in place now, and Susan's a part of this as well, is working with new hires, anyone coming on board with our company and walking in the door and having a robust training program, very much the first week in what we call our intensive, it's gotten its name for a reason. It's a very intense event with the information that we share in a short period of time, but thorough information, good information to kind of set the stage for not only their skills and training on overall software and things like that, but also the culture of our company. And we think that's very important. And you play a part in that as well, Jamie, in your DISC presentation that you present to new hires. And then we have the other side of that coin, which is for our established staff members and that ongoing training opportunity and education. And you've been a pinnacle part of that, Jamie, and having SharePoint come up. And so we have had save the date opportunities of sending information out so that our staff members can join team presentations on certain items that are important to us that help them to educate and provide for that. We really recognized we've always had positions that help train providers, but I would say over the last 6 to 8 months, we also recognize for our support staff members, our clinical staff members that support those providers and help to work in that multidisciplinary team model or team-based care model that we have in place, that we needed trainers in the regions as well. And so we have specified roles or FTEs in each region for folks that we call regional directors of training and education. And we partner with them so that we have a ongoing training opportunity once new hires come out of intensive the first week, that they can walk out into their regions and have one-on-one support through those RDTEs in the regions as well, mm-hmm. to continue with that training and support as they move forward. And then, of course, they help also to provide education back to staff members that are established already. Mm-hmm. The great thing about all of this is that it all kind of works together. I sit down sometimes during the week, Jamie, and I look at the calendar and look at the calendar of training events and look at what Casey Clary, who's our director of coding education, is doing with our weekly coding training that established providers and new hires can come back to. I look at Natalie Carruthers, who's our director of informatics, and the Athena training that she provides each week. Coaching calls, those are all part of education and making sure that we're coaching up our staff members. And Teresa Eunice is doing a great job of leading some coaching calls for our director of clinical services and our visiting nurses as well. I run a coaching call for our regional directors of training and education. So I guess I share all of that, and I know I seem like I'm rambling here, but I share all that to say all of that is education. Mm-hmm. All of that falls under that umbrella. And so when we think about coaching for peak performance and overall education, those all either formally or informally fall into that category.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really endless on everything that's done. And I think too, going back to talking about orientation and intensives, who you both play a huge part of. Susan, you run the orientation, which is day one for people. How important is it? And I want you both to answer this. How important is it to get somebody at a new organization that's fresh, that's coming in with maybe it's a brand new world to them in the medical field. Maybe it's brand new. But then you have people that are coming in they've been in the medical field for years. How important is it to get somebody started from day one and get them started right? Susan, you go first.
Yes. I think putting orientation as their first day of employment is so vital to their success, because our company works differently than any other company they've probably worked for.
Yes.
We're a very fluid company, and we need them to know that not only do they have support in their region, but they have support in the administrative office as well. Mm-hmm. And they can always reach out to us in the university or the intensive staff to ask questions, especially if they're being told different things. Wait a minute, in orientation, they said this, but when I got back to the field, they're telling me something else. So we've found that we're connecting better with these new employees, and they're absorbing so much information. I really like it when I see their notebooks open and they're taking 3 and 4 and 5 pages a note just on orientation alone.
Yeah.
That's an employee that is wanting to learn. Mm-hmm. And that's what we value. We're able to identify them for future apprenticeships, you know, mm-hmm. and how they can benefit from working within this company to make it easy for themselves.
Sure. That's great. Now, David, you lead the intensive part of this training, you know, for that week, which it is an intense week. It's a lot of information. We joke and say it's like drinking out of a fire hose all week, you know, and you have a team. You have, you know, Donna and Keisha that are just unbelievable troopers and really pour their heart and soul into this. Talk about the intensive week, you know, on starting Tuesday. What's that like?
Yeah, Jamie, I couldn't agree with Susan more. It's so encouraging when you see the notebooks out, when you see people holding up their cell phones and taking pictures of the slides that are being presented and things like that. That shows that they're really engaged in that conversation. So we've seen that day two, day three, and day four, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are continued intensive trainings. And that's a blend of Donna and Keisha working together with staff members doing breakout sessions with certain disciplines so that they can have really specified trainings on their discipline style, whether it's a nurse practitioner or whether it's an MA. It's a blend of our EMR software, which is Athena, and they're them getting hands-on training on that. Jamie, on Mondays, you present on the DISC assessment, mm-hmm. and personality types, and we've gotten rave reviews. You do a wonderful job of that. Everyone loves that, and I wanted to give a shout-out to you for doing such a great job on that. I think that's an important role in establishing personality types I think also so important is really to focus on people and their overall adult learning styles. We know that people learn differently, and we know there's at the base minimum there's three categories of adult learning styles. There's visual learners, there's auditory learners, and those folks that are listening to this call right now who love podcasts, well, they fall into that category. They're very much auditory learners. Mm-hmm. And then there's kinesthetic learners or hands-on learners. My son, who's 11 years old, he is definitely a kinesthetic learner. That boy, anything he puts his hands on and touches, that's how he picks up on things. And so what we've done with Intensive really is blend the different styles of learning in Intensive so that depending on who is sitting in those seats and what their favorite learning style is, they're going to get a little bit of each. Sometimes we do a Teams call. Sometimes we share with them a podcast. We definitely do hands-on training with Athena so that they can get in, and we do some mock case studies that we've developed so that they can get in and use Athena and walk through it and the different stages of Athena to learn. And then, of course, the visual learners in the room, they're going to love having people stand face-to-face with them in the room and present, or have PowerPoint presentations where they have visual aids and things like that that we give them. So we've really tried on those 3 days of intensive to focus on those three different learning styles to make it the best fit for everyone. And as people walk out of intensive on Thursdays, they definitely are walking out knowing a lot more than they did when they walked in. Mm-hmm. Although a lot of those principles, they're not hardwired yet, and they're not going to be. We understand that and recognize that. And so that's why we really at that point in time lean on heavily our regional team members to continue with those base principles of training and teaching in the regions as we walk forward.
Yeah. You know, part of this is a culture thing. You know, Susan, how important is it to kind of, when people do begin in this company, to foster a culture of education, which is continual, it never stops, and showing people that this is something we want from you, we need you to do, we need you to continually learn, continually be a learner, and also continually be a teacher, pass along the information. How important is that to you, Susan?
It's extremely important, Jamie, and it's something that we talk about that first day. Not only can they help their education, but they can help us educate others. We tell staff, you know, you have opportunities to create courses. You can look on our university and see what we might be missing. We're always looking for experts within our company. Mm-hmm. And we have many, and they can contribute so much. So education is vital to the success of our organization, and it's vital for them. You learn something new every day, no matter what you're doing. Whether you're sitting at a desk, you should always be learning something new. That's mm-hmm. the importance.
Yeah. I remember hearing a, you know, story. It was, I think it was Scott Middleton, our founder and chief disruption officer, and Jimmy Williamson, you know, our, you know, I always, titles change so much around here. I always mess them up, and they're very fluid. But everyone knows Dr. Jimmy Williamson, if you're a part of the company. They were having a conversation, and they were talking about when they originally were birthing kind of the apprenticeship model and the plan. And I think somebody, you know, asked Scott, you know, well, what if these people leave our company? You know, we've spent all this money and this time and these resources educating them. You know, what if they just leave? And he says, well, you know, what if we don't educate them and they leave? You know, it's not just about SC House Calls. It's not just about Main Street Physicians. It's much bigger. And I think, you know, Scott thinks much bigger than just even within our own organizations. Talk about that aspect of it, David, and how important is it to educate people for future jobs that they're going to have even?
Yeah, isn't that a cool story? Isn't that cool that someone in his position and someone, you know, at his stature in the company would really allude to that and really be thinking about employees and their overall commitment to their lives? I mean, you're at that point in Pam, you're thinking about how am I setting them up for success the rest of their life, whether they work for me and this company or whether they go somewhere else. I mean, he's thinking about the healthcare organization at that point in time, and he's being very servant leadership focused, if you will. And I think that that's really what we're trying to focus on here is that we know we've had some employees that have come to us and that have worked and that have gained their MA certification, and they have moved on to other companies. And we say to them, great work, great job moving forward. Although we want your talent here, don't get me wrong. I want people and their talent to be here. But if that does happen, then that's okay. That's okay because we've set them up for a better opportunity. I would say we have great opportunities here, of course, but a continued opportunity is probably a better way of saying that, to use what we've taught them and to use what they've gained from us to continue to, you know, really have an impact on the healthcare system itself. And that's what we're in it for. I think, Jamie, the biggest thing that I see through all of this is a lot of times you will see companies out there who are so bottom line focused and so profit focused that they miss out on the opportunity of developing their staff through education, and almost that they draw a line in between education and operations. And I think we've done a great job with this company of blending the two. We know that there's the operations side where you have to focus on being productive and you need to focus on making sure that we're providing care to the patients. But we also build in time to actually educate our staff members and continue to grow our staff members because we put high concern on that or high emphasis on that. And I think that's what's made the biggest difference. You know, I've been in healthcare for 18 years, and this is really the first company that I've worked for that really put such a great emphasis on the education part. And I'm blessed to be part of the education division and blessed to learn and work with Susan. She's been a great mentor to me over the years, and just in sharing, you know, what she's done with LTC University and just in general for the company. So I think it's helpful. Even the mindset of our leadership team. I was on a call a couple of weeks ago, and our chief executive officer, our CEO, Matt Staub, a topic came up, and he mentioned, well, maybe it's not just about teaching people, but maybe when you teach them a certain topic, you need to then ask them to repeat back to you what you've taught them or what they've learned, and so that you can hear them say it back to you in their own words so that you know that they've learned it. Well, that's teach back. The, you know, in healthcare a couple years back, teach back methodology came out where you teach a chunk of information to someone and then they repeat it back to you. And depending on how they repeat it back to you, you can determine whether they truly understand it and have learned it, or you need to go back and reteach it again to them before you move on to more information. And that's what we try to utilize. You know, reverse demonstration is what it used to be in the old school terms, if you can go back that far. But that's our focus as well in the education department, is really zeroing in on teach back. But getting back to your sole answer, education really is as important as operations, because if you don't have trained, well-educated employees that know how to do their roles and know what they're out there doing, then you're going to struggle with operations. And don't get me wrong, we've seen that challenge. We've seen that. We've struggled with that ourselves, with the change that we make sometimes and moving roles and changing positions and things like that. And more importantly, developing positions so that we can stay ahead of the curve. We've seen some challenges there, and we've had to adapt to that and really move forward with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Go ahead, Susan.
And Jamie, one thing I think is important is not only are we educating our staff, but that education is helping the patients that are in our practice, because we're keeping our staff current. And so it's a win-win completely all around everything that we do. Our staff know when there are changes in how we take care of somebody who has COPD or whatever healthcare problem they have, they're aware of it, and we're able, and if they're not aware of it, we're able to educate them and bring them up to date. So we are very fortunate to have a company that does put so much emphasis on the education part of our staff.
Yeah.
It is a blessing.
Yeah, it really is. 'Cause it does, at the end of the day, trickle down to the patients. You know, it moves down to, you know, the care that they actually receive. You know, I think you know, I'm thinking of some of the projects we've been working on, you know, billing and coding videos. And we just recently did a video to be able to educate people on the, you know, diabetic retinopathy device, the camera that we have and utilize, mm-hmm. so providers can have that. Right now we're working on a diabetic foot exam video that's being produced right now. And so there's
Jamie,
just so much.
That's been, not to interrupt you there, but that's been one of your favorites there, from what I understand, as far as filming that diabetic foot exam.
Yeah,
I'm correct.
Yeah. We, you know, Elizabeth Snyder, one of our nurse practitioners, she is a rock star. Typically when we film a video, you know, you're kind of going back, and naturally, you know, you're going to go back and forth. Hey, let's say it this way. And we keep changing things and, you know, to kind of get the final product the way we want it to be. Well, not with Elizabeth. She just ran through the entire thing, one take, perfect. And she's also an educator. She's worked at some different universities. She's an educator at heart. And here's somebody who's in the field, you know, actually providing care to patients, you know, in the Beaufort area and in that region. But she's also an educator for you know, SC House Call. She's almost also an educator for LTC University. She's, you know, bringing that back through those different things. Like you said earlier, Susan, we have so many experts out there, you know, that we have an endless supply of education, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons that our company can grow quickly and grow fast and stay current and stay on top of things is because of this system that has been built, you know, largely by you, Susan, and you, David, you know, especially getting people started and the continuing education. It's a huge part of the reason our company and companies can do that and stay current and relevant, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Susan, what would you say to somebody who's maybe they feel overwhelmed for whatever reason? Maybe they, you know, they've come into the company, they're just trying to get their footing, but maybe they're not partaking of all the education resources that they could. What would you say to that person?
Well, we highly encourage all new employees to give themselves at least 90 days before mm-hmm. they think about an apprenticeship through the university, because we want employees that feel comfortable within their job. And basically, you could close your eyes and do your work almost. Mm-hmm. You know who to contact whenever something's needed. And then if they're hesitant, we try and get on a call with them and say, what's your concern? This is your pace. You have a year to do it. If you need a little more, we're able to extend it. But we try and talk to them and see what might be the underlying issue for them. And then we remind them at the completion of an apprenticeship, there's a pay increase. So right. After your first apprenticeship, it's a 5% pay increase. Mm-hmm. Your second is 3%. And if you do a third and fourth apprenticeship, you get the 2% pay increase. I almost lost my number there. So, I mean, there's an advantage for the employee as well. You're not just doing this work to be doing it. You're getting a monetary benefit as well, which is helpful for you and your family.
Sure.
Completing an apprenticeship is showing your commitment, not only to yourself, but to your company. Yeah. And, you know, we're here to talk to them about them. And we have found that those calls and those personal touches have made a tremendous difference in relieving the fears of what this might be, because everything is online. We are not bringing you in for classes. You're able to complete these courses at your own pace.
Yeah, that's great. Susan, how would somebody get involved in an apprenticeship that is ready to get involved, they're ready to get started? How would they do that?
They can reach out to our Dean of Apprenticeships, Jackie Keefe, K-E-E-F-E, and just let her know that they are interested, and she will send them suggestions as to which of our apprenticeships would be helpful for them. We have Kim Williamson, who is our proctor for the provider apprenticeship, and 201. I handle 301 and our culinary apprenticeships for our hospitality staff. So we have really branched out, not only in the healthcare, but we want our staff that work in Scott's hospitality side of the companies educated as well. So we're here to help them and help each staff member grow in their career with our companies.
Yeah. David, close us out with the answering that question again. You know, how important is it for somebody to get involved, you know, in to continuing education of all that we're doing?
Yeah, Jamie, I think that what it boils down to, and I say this oftentimes at intensive the first week, is you and we all have learned this and know this old saying, you know, you get out of it what you put into it. And we've seen a little bit of that related to some staff members that come in that, you know, really don't put forth the effort or don't give it everything they've got. And ultimately, you know, they're the ones that ultimately are going to struggle with that. But we've seen the flip side of that. Those that come in that are heavily engaged and that really focus and are in the moment and take the time to learn and walk along that path and ask questions when they don't understand things. And those are the ones that are going to succeed and do well in the overall atmosphere. And we're ready to walk beside both of those people. We're really ready to walk beside and coach up those that are struggling a little bit so that they can have peak performance within our organization. And also those that are really the ones that are knocking it out the park, we're ready to walk beside those as well. And just so many opportunities, but it really does start with them raising their hand and going, hey, I'm ready. I'm committed to make this happen. I've seen so much opportunity for growth within folks that have started with us in one role. And then through education and through learning, they've moved into different positions with our company. We're all mm-hmm. about internal promotion. I've seen a lot of that within our company as opposed to hiring from the outside and moving them into positions. I've seen a lot of internal growth and internal, you know, internal promotions. And so I think just to simply say, there's the opportunities are there. You just have to step forth and put your foot forward and go, okay, I'm ready to take this on and move forward and try something. And we're just a fabulous opportunity across the board, though, Jamie. And it's cool to see. And Susan alluded to this earlier. What I love so much about education is when you see the light bulbs go off for people, and when you see them really turn the corner and recognize, hey, I get it now. And I agree with Susan, 90 days, even in some of the clinical roles, even longer than that, it's not going to happen in 1 week. And that's one thing I do share with staff is we can't expect for staff members to walk out of the orientation and intensive from the first week and be expected to know everything. It's a foundation.
Yeah.
And then and they really need that orientation window of time for that 90-day window. And some maybe even longer than that, some up to 6 months I've seen that have really taken time. But it's really cool to see when that light bulb goes off and they really start turning that corner and reflect back to us and say, wow, thank you. It all makes sense now. It's all being pieced together. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we're a large organization and we have hospitality side of the business as we were saying. And, you know, so it's really neat to see and so many different softwares. You know, I remember I started here in 2019 and we did not have the amount of software systems that help support our providers and support staff like we do now. And it's just been incredible to see that transition. But along with that comes training. Along with mm-hmm. that comes using it and being comfortable with it and sure. using the things that we have. So I think in general, Jamie, it's just a great opportunity and what a great time to be in healthcare, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you all for what you do and just the culture you're building of education. It's not just having classes and having, you know, these, you know, systems and things. You're literally building a culture of education, and that's much bigger and much broader and gets much more mileage out of it, you know, when you build a culture of that and expect people to make that their culture. Culture is just, this is how I behave. And you guys have built a culture of education to say, this is how we educate ourselves. And we, you know, get into this system and we work and we learn. And you guys have done an incredible job of providing that. And thank you so much for all that you're doing. And I love what you said, Susan, it literally goes right to the patient. Eventually, you know, when that provider, when that MA, when that, you know, director of clinical operations, when they learn something new and they can implement that, it eventually makes it to that patient to provide better care. So thank you both for all that you do. And we really appreciate you.
Thank you, Jamie. We appreciate you so much.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks guys. Thanks for listening. And if you could leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. Visit our podcast website at ltcuniversitypodcast.com. You can also subscribe to one of our other podcasts in our podcast network, The Disruptive Podcast with Scott Middleton, Experiencing Healthcare with Matt Staub, and The Thriving Practitioner Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week.